opportunity to come and present a lesson to you. It's been a while since I've been in front of the pulpit, and it's kind of, it's an honor, really. It's an honor to be able to share God's Word. And we're still new to the congregation here, and my wife and I are still getting to know a lot of people here, and you guys are certainly getting to know us. One of the things that that I told both the elders and Dan in just meeting some of the people here is that there's not a whole lot of things that I like to do better than study God's Word. I mean, it's just awesome to me. I love the stories in the Bible, and I think the hardest part when you have to do a devotion or you have to do a sermon or something like that is there's so many good ones that you can't just do them all. and so selecting only certain ones is sometimes a challenge. But this morning I'm going to speak out of the book of Zechariah. So if you can turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Zechariah chapter 3. One of the minor prophets. It's in the back of the Old Testament. It's actually the second to last book, right before Malachi. I know that this has been, for many of us, a very, very long winter.
Amen.
Hasn't it? And I know, living with my wife, one of the more common conversations that we have is how sick my wife is of all of the snow that we've had outside. However, I have to admit, I was in a conversation this morning with a gentleman from here and talking about, wasn't it kind of refreshing to wake up this morning and look outside and see the ground covered white? Maybe not. Maybe not for you. But I think so much snow has started to taint our view over the promise God has given us, that He takes the sins that we've committed, no matter how crimson red we've become, and changes that as white as snow. And what better picture of understanding that concept than waking up Easter morning to a blanket of white? And that's really the message that Zechariah gives us here in chapter 3. And it's actually a conversation between God and Satan in regards to the high priest, Joshua. This is a story that probably not too many people are familiar with, because Zechariah kind of hides in the back of the Old Testament. It's not one that very many of us read. And it's too bad, because Zechariah has a lot of good things to share. In fact, you may not know this, but Zechariah talks more about Jesus than anybody else in the Old Testament, with the exception of Isaiah. In fact, just a couple of things that Zechariah shares about Jesus is, number one, how much he would be betrayed for, and also he prophesies the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's probably his most famous prophecy. But there's a lot of good things here in the book of Zechariah, and I want to just share a story that's found in chapter 3. And it says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord." And by he's talking about himself, Zechariah. "And Satan was there, standing at the right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?' Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you.' Then I said, 'Put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. 'This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O High Priest Joshua and your associates seated before you, who are men, symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. This story really hits home with me. It's actually one of my favorite stories of the Bible, because I can look back at a time in my life where I wasn't living for God. I don't know if you can also identify with that, but I think you can. Where I wasn't living for God, and yet I thought I was. I thought I was doing the things that I needed to do, and I didn't realize I couldn't attain my salvation by myself. I didn't know that until I started reading God's Word. But, you know, you can get taught so many things that the Bible doesn't teach. And one of the things that I was taught is, you know, you try the best you can. You try to live right. And it's almost as if God kind of grazes on a curve, you know, that, you know, as long as you kind of are getting it or trying to do it, that's good enough. And wow. I read the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah says that the best that I can offer as far as my righteousness, the best that I can offer is like filthy rags to God. Dirty rags. So as I stand before God, accused of the sins that I've committed, I'm standing before Him in filthy rags. And I can hear Satan, and maybe you can too, after reading this, I can hear Satan trying to convince God throughout history that Dave Schmidt, look all the wrongs he's done. He's not worth your time. He's not worth your sacrifice. Maybe you shouldn't die for him. You see, I think you can point to all sorts of scripture and you see Satan at work within the Old Testament, especially as he's trying to keep Jesus from coming, because he knew Jesus was ultimately his defeat. And if he could convince Jesus that my life is not worth saving, or your life is not worth saving, God's plan of salvation was over. It was done. And so that's why I love Satan's answer, or excuse me, God's answer to Satan. He says, I rebuke you. Get away from me, Satan, because I'm not listening to you. I understand what you're saying, but the sins that you are accusing him of, and understand that's what one of Satan's titles is the accuser. The things that you're accusing this people of is no more. Because I'm going to take that person, I'm going to take that soul, I'm going to remove them filthy rags, and I'm going to replace it with clean clothes. I'm going to wash it. I'm going to wash them white as snow. Ultimately, that's what's going to happen to us in the end too. Because if you flip back to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, it's a celebration going on. Revelation chapter 19 basically says the same thing Zechariah just told us. Slightly different way. Same message. Starting in verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you, his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude. to, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. You see, only the blood of Jesus, and I don't know that, maybe we've heard this too much that it's kind of fallen on deaf ears, but it needs to be heard fresh and new. Only the blood of Jesus is able to take that crimson red away from us and prepare us for the day when we meet our Lord. See, the bride is the church. We are the bride. And we're not going to stand before Jesus bathed in crimson red. Those that have taken on Jesus and accepted the salvation plan that God has offered us are going to stand before Him in white.
Amen.
So when you woke up this morning and you saw that blanket of white outside, I'm sorry that you didn't see the picture I did. Because really, I think God was giving us a clear indication of what Jesus ultimately paid the penalty for and what that blood that spilled off of His body down on the ground, what it did for you and what it did for me. It made us white as snow. So as we come this morning, or this evening, I'm used to preaching in the morning. It's the evening now. Perhaps you haven't yet made that decision. Perhaps right now you're still trying to work it out on your own. But nothing we ever do is going to be good enough. Jesus right now is offering an opportunity for you to come and to remove that old self, that old life, and allow you, allow me, to start new again. Only the blood of Jesus can take that red away. Only Jesus can take the sin away. And if you have a desire to come and you have a need that can be met, come while we stand and while we sing.